What is up, you amazing listeners and viewers tuning in from whichever platform you love to get your podcast from? I'm your host, Chronic, and I have my co-host, Jason, with me, or Shadow Strain. And we are back with another brand new episode of Tuesdays with TCK. Now, on today's episode, we would love for you to hit that like button, comment down below, and subscribe or follow along to show the sponsors of this show some major love: Hydro Bucket, T&B Naturals, Atlas Seed, and the Autoflower Review. So be sure to show them some major love, because today we're going to be talking about ripening and finishing products for autoflowers. So, without further ado, let's break into it.
Hell yeah. So how you doing today, my guy?
I'm doing good, man. Honestly, enjoying the day. It's slightly cold outside, but can't complain. I'm staying warm. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, man. Weather's just kind of wet and nasty here in Maryland, but that it's pretty much like that all the time. So let's jump into this, my guy, man. So got a question for you. What are you growing in the garden right now, man? What do you got in there? Where are you running?
I've got my mothers. So I have my Animal Cookies S1 mother. I have the Glue of the Gods number one, and then the glue of the Gods number two. So number two is the male. I've got my modified skunk, and then I have, what's my other one? Oh yeah, my Alaskan purple.
Okay.
And then I have in the flower tent, the autopot, I have the two in the back are, hold on, I switched my tent around, so I'm trying to remember which ones they are. I think I put up in the front right is the Alaskan purple from Seedsman, which is like that big giant cola looking autoflower. And then I have Fruit by the Foot from Atlas in the front left. I have D's Nugs and Cream Tasmo from Mephisto in the back left and right. So those are the plants that I have still. I've taken down the rest of the MSNL seeds. What about yourself, man?
So I got Crotch Monster still rolling. I recently took down the Alien Gorilla Cookies. They're actually in the dryer right behind me, drying up. And then I got the Straw Cheesy and Bruce's Juices. Yeah, so that's what I got. That's what I got running as of right now, man. I don't have the plant count problem that you have over there, but you know, that's a nice thing when you're forgetting how many strains you got running. So far, what terp is grabbing you out of all yours, man? Which one is just like when you smell it, you're like, I can't wait to chop this one.
You know, the Glue of the Gods has an extremely heavy, like very diesel punch, like very, very diesel punch. It's probably one of my favorites. And, I would say Stomp Berries, that one in particular, when it smells, it just smells like straight up fruit with like kind of a diesel back or skunk back hint, but it's mainly just fruit. And in the Cannatrol, whenever you open it up, that's like the first smell that resonates. So honestly, the Stomp Berries is one that I'm looking forward to, but I do have, smaller seeded out modified skunk and animal cookie sitting over that I have to go through, and the modified skunk is mad skunky, so I'm excited to like actually grow out a big plant of that, so that'll be interesting.
Nice. That you'll need a fresh carbon filter for that one.
Yeah, most definitely. It's gonna maybe take out a fresh carbon filter by itself. So what about you? What kind of terps? I know you got some interesting terps going on, and that will kind of lead and segue right into our conversation, because terpenes are pretty much where finishing products come
in. That's where we're at right now. Yeah, man, that's what we're talking about. Like I had said before, I had that one that started off like a freshly cut open cantaloupe, but now it's kind of morphed itself into just a very sweet fuel. Interestingly enough, how it's kind of went from this real fruity scent to this fuel just started kind of punching out of it. But to be honest, the one that's grabbing me right now is the Straw Cheesy. That thing just smells like cheese. And I love that like barnyard funk. You know what I mean?
Turn your head a couple times where you're like, what the hell?
yeah. You know what I mean? Like, is that Gruyere cheese? What is that? You know what I mean? and then the Bruce's Juices, that one kind of smells like, it's got a cereal kind of terp to it.
Interesting.
Yeah, kind of a Lucky Charms almost terp to it. I'm not the biggest fruit. My girl's going to love that one. I know. I'm not the biggest. Okay. I don't like the fruit terps as much. I mean, I don't necessarily hate them. But if I just like that barnyard funk, that fuel, burn my nostrils smell, you know what I mean? cat piss.
It's the stuff that you really don't find anymore because people don't really breed that out for dispensaries. So I do enjoy that. And honestly, the stuff that generally has those terpenes usually has the myrcene and caryophyllene and linalool and things that you need to actually help with pain. So
yeah, yeah.
Now that we're kind of branching into that, recently you texted me a finishing product, and that I think that's probably what kind of gave us the idea to do the ripening finishing talk, because you actually are you asked me if it was a good product and things like that. So we'll start with your product. We'll kind of break down the ingredients that's in the product that you're using, how you're using it, and then I'll discuss other products that I've used like it, and we'll kind of break into there. So what's the name of the product that you are using?
I'm actually using Winter Frost right now, by New Millennium. The stuff seems to be really killer. I tried it on the last harvest, but I don't think I actually got a good solid understanding of what I was doing with it. So I didn't really notice too much of a difference there. But this time I'm making sure I'm kind of running it the way it's meant to be run. They recommend giving it a good 3 waterings in at least 2 weeks prior to my flush.
Okay. So that makes sense. So it can actually be absorbed.
Yeah, yeah. And then I guess go. Now, they do recommend using their other product, Ruby Flush, along with it. I didn't get that. I'm just going with the Winter Frost. I guess, like, from what you told me, that's going to help me kind of exasperate some of those leftover nutrients that are in the soil and just give it that final instant feed, which was really interesting, because I didn't actually know it was going to give me that instant feed, which I freaked out a little bit when you said that. I was like, uh-oh, because am I going to burn? What's going to happen? What is going to burn it? What is going on?
Yeah. Yeah, with a lot of finishers and ripening products, that's soluble potassium. So for those listening, if you do look at this product, you'll see on the back it has soluble potassium. And then I think there's what's the other? Potassium sulfate is the other one or something like that. It's or phosphorus. Is it phosphorus?
That's the other one. Real quick. Since I'm right here. All right. What was this? Was the potash?
Yeah, so the potassium and the soluble potassium, was it soluble potassium or soluble phosphorus for us?
Available phosphates and then soluble potash.
Okay, so soluble potassium is what we were talking about, which is, so when we're talking about finishing or ripening factors or ripening products, you have your 3 main base nutrients, so your nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus, NPK. Nitrogen is shown up by the N, potassium is shown up by the P, phosphorus is shown up by the K, so that's kind of how that works. I'm pretty sure that's proper. Watch out, I switched the P's. I always do that. But anyways, regardless, those nutrients are baseline nutrients that are molecules that are that create covalent bonds with other molecules that are micronutrients. So we have the macronutrients that are the main ones. And there are other macronutrients in existence, but NPK are the main ones for most, not just cannabis, but for a lot of plants that fruit or vegetables, things like that. This is kind of how you go about growing. Every individual plant is going to have individual pH ranges that we talk about. And that's why cannabis is so in particular about the ranges that you're in. And during the ripening stage, you're generally at 6.0 to 6.3 because you want to make sure that you're uptaking enough potassium and phosphorus, which is very important because potassium and phosphorus are latching on to the micronutrients that are going to help the ripening stage photosynthetic processes, such as creating trichomes, creating the medicine inside of the trichome heads, like the cannabinoids, the cannabinoidal compounds, CBG, CBN, CBD, CBC. So all of those various compounds, as well as THCA, that's the big one that we're trying to go after most of the time. And then there's various things that you can do to really pronunciate those various terpenes. But what a lot of these products that, like what Jason is using, is basically it is a soluble form of phosphorus or potassium. In his case, it's going to be potassium that allows the plant to instantaneously uptake on the feed, and then it has a slow release aspect of that feed that's going to allow that to absorb into the plant. Why that's useful is because when you have something that is instantaneously absorbed, when you flush your soil, it's going to flush through your soil, and on all those extra micronutrients that have been kind of sitting in your soil will get kind of sucked up in a covalent bond with that instantaneously absorbed potassium, and your plant will be able to basically do on-site osmosis with those water molecules and kind of absorb it. When it gets absorbed, it'll go into the leaves, and those leaves will be able to start that fading process, and you're basically like, you're forcing your plant to use the internal storage that it has while maintaining a healthy food cycle within the soil, so that your plant doesn't completely burn out and look all gross, but it should do a nice proper fall fade, and you'll see a really nice ripened plant that will produce a lot of trichomes and everything. The point of most of these products is to exacerbate smells a lot of the time, as well as increase the production. So there's various forms. The product that you're using, if growers are listening or wondering, and if you're wondering, is more towards the increase of production, so overall increasing the density or increasing the food uptake, increasing trichome production, medicinal compounds, those kind of things is what you're after. And then there's finishing products that are like Terpinator or Perpinator, or you have Mammoth Farms, I think it's Mammoth P. So that's a heavy phosphorus one that you're supposed to feed end game, kind of like yours, okay. Except it's a concentrated phosphorus. So you're only feeding, I mean, the tiny, tiny, tiny amount of it, and it's instantly available. So like those ones really increase the weight. Now, yeah. Terpinator and Perpinator products like that, those are going to go after increasing the terpenes found, really pronunciating the colors. Why is that important? Because if you have like a purple or a anthocyanin plant or a carotenoid plant, bringing out those carotenoids or anthocyanins is extra medicine. So that's actually increased medicinal benefits. So Terpinator is probably one product I always talk about. I have it in my garden right now, but I really need to go get it or grab it online. But Terpinator is a really great terpene product. It was formulated by a group of growers that were tired of really not so great sugar or silica based products that are for ripening stage. Because blackstrap molasses is a great if you're trying to flush a plant using just water and blackstrap molasses unsulfured, is a really great way to give sugars to the soil, as well as about 40 different micronutrients, but flushing the soil.
Yes.
So Terpinator is like a sugar and
carbohydrate.
Carbohydrate feed that has different extracts of different carbohydrates. So they took some from seaweed, they took some from fish shells, they took some from this and that. All these things have different terpenes and flavors for the food. When the micronutrients or microbials eat those micronutrients in that food, or those flavonoids, which is actually what flavors terpenes, is the flavonoids. Whenever they consume those, that actually enriches the flavor within the soil. So Terpinator is a terpene enriching product that will increase the richness or the flavors and aromas of your terpenes. So those are kind of like the three types of finishing products. And then you have your final finishing product, which you mentioned earlier, the Ruby Flush, for instance. That's your actual flushing product.
Got it.
And most companies that say, oh, you should use our product with it, if it's a chemistry-derived blend, or if it's a specific rock sulfate or a mineral sulfate that they're deriving their stuff from, generally they derive the same flushing thing to work in combination, so that the excess in PK that you put in with natural rock sulfates or minerals won't be overabundant in your reservoir. Another really great product a lot of people use, and a lot of growers have used for consistent years, is FloraClean. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but that's a hydroponic reservoir thing, or like just at end of 2 week thing, you would add to your water and it basically would rip all the salts and everything and rip everything out off the roots and allow the roots to just be completely clean and clear. You pretty much rip everything out of your soil, and you allow the principle of that is to keep your leaves very nice, healthy, and green till that 2-week mark. And then once you do that FloraClear or the flushing phase, you force the internal storage to use, and then you see that fall fade, and you sometimes get those like little tip like crunchiness, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
those are kind of the different finishing products that we see on a broad spectrum. There's a ton out there.
Let me grab another one. So when I get into talking about like organic dry amendment flower finishers, I actually have this one here, flower finisher. And this was what I have been using up to the point of throwing in the winter, winter frost.
Yeah.
This one is once again, the soluble potash, calcium, magnesium, iron, humic acid, and, biochar.
That's actually very good. And the humic acid is very important for that, because humic acid allows for the nutrient or the root system to stay clean and clear of certain diseases and sicknesses. So humic acid is actually quite important.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've been having a real good time with these. I guess they're good based off a Terra Preta style of gardening.
Yep, that's like the South American or like the European thing where they're like no leach in the soil. It's just like toss it once and then it has enough nutrient enrichment.
Yeah, and then at the end of the cycle, you basically char the earth and till it back in. So like these guys, all their products, they already have biochar and mycorrhizae in everything they do.
That's amazing.
And I actually just started adding in their Earthshine product, which I believe is biochar. And it's not just biochar, though. It's like they've rounded all the bases on it. I can grab it and look, but I just added that in also. And that supposedly is supposed to amplify the nutrient uptake that I'm getting there towards the end and help break down some of those roots and all that stuff.
Yeah, biochar and various, depending on what they put into it and depending on the types of, like, where they're deriving it from, because that is important to note. Why should you buy certain companies or try different products or try different things? To be honest, it depends on what strains you're growing. It depends on what microbials you're using, what mycorrhizae you're using. All sorts of things kind of come into play. So mycorrhizal fungi is kind of an interesting thing in the sense of, you know, they're directly responsible. The microbial life, the mycorrhizal fungi, all of that is directly responsible for basically feeding your plants. And what they eat and consume flavors your plants. It will create the smells for your plant. It will create how much medicinal compounds are there. And so companies derive things from different minerals or different places, or like biochar, for instance, it's a really great product that's coming about. Biochar is becoming a lot more popular and it's becoming a lot more available, which is really nice. So charring the earth is something, you know, scorched earth is, it doesn't look beautiful, but it's extremely beneficial for an environment. It allows it to reset. There's a ton. When you burn something in charcoal, all of that becomes nitrogen, accessible carbon and nitrogen that goes back down into play. I think it potentially could become phosphorus too, or if I you have to correct me if I'm wrong. I always forget what specific nutrients that charred earth becomes, but I do know it's a very heavy carbon based kind of thing because you're breaking down pretty much everything and turning it into a bare ash again, and ash is a carbon based product or something like that.
It also helps absorb some of those excess nutrients.
Yes.
And store them inside that then later release them when the plants need.
And see, that's the big thing. And that's why I want to say it's – I'm almost 100% when I say it's carbon, because carbon is a, a product that kind of holds on and unlocks. So carbon is a big thing in growing with either – whether it's carbohydrates, carbon. Most of the time, anything of that form how am I going to word this? Like, for instance, PH Lush from Tim McCormick. The reason I oogle and all over that is because the carbon-based derivative in that unlocks the potential for the root system to access the full range of the pH scale without any limitations. Now, so if you're thinking...
I don't mean to cut you off. Is that an alkaline product? alkaline. I think so. Yeah, and
those are good. I think so. Yeah, it's all chemistry derived. I'd have to look at it, and I have a whole. He has like 45 minutes of an episode where he just talks about everything, and I let him kind of just like unload science, and it's unreal. And he goes in depth with the pH less, but I want to say it is an alkaline based product, but I could be wrong. Yeah. But it's carbon does a lot for plants, and so finishing products that are. The difference between the new millennium and the dry amendment is you'd have to add the dry amendment 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time because of the slow release and what it does for it. The new millennium is a little more instantaneous. And then you have even other products that are, you have lines like prescription blend nutrients that has instantaneously releasable nutrients for hydroponics. It's meant for hydroponics, but you can also use it for soil plants. You just make a water mix, put the newts in, and then feed. Certain blends are instantaneously fed. So that's why you would stick directly with those feeding schedules. The principle behind ripening and finishers is to increase the terpene production, the terpene aromas on one side, and then utilizing the Calvin bonding processes and various other end of stage or late stage processes of ripening the bud out. For those who get airy or larfy bud, a product like New Millennium or a product like Mammoth Pea would be a really great one. Honestly, going after the phosphorus is probably a little more beneficial for those who are struggling with weight or density, as well as adding CO2. CO2 is a big one.
So that being said, I think if what we're talking about today, if all your environmental conditions aren't there, if your genetics aren't fire already, don't even listen to this conversation we're having right now. Because like the larfy bud thing, if that's a problem you're having, you need to go back to ground zero. Mm-hmm. You need to check all your other bases first. And then you can have this conversation with us. But
a lot of people don't realize genetics do have there's a lot of things that come into the whole ripeness stage and ripening stage. It's a tough stage, man. You can really destroy a plant late game really quickly. Things can go wrong really fast. Your environment has to be completely dialed in. You don't want as much hot times the last few weeks as you would want more dark and humid times. You'd want more of those cooler kind of humidity nights to mimic the fall coming in. Okay. So honestly, it's once you start growing and you start getting products for ripening, you're starting to get into really truly mimicking how nature is treating plants. And then what's cool about when you start understanding how fall fades work, you'll be able to look at plants outside and go, oh, wow, okay, so that's all the nutrients get. This is what makes sense. And then, it's a cycle. So the seeds are the plants drop the leaves. The leaves are carbon, nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus all left over and whatever's still stored. Leaves fall off, go into the ground. Ground breaks it down under snow usually, or just basically through natural stuff. Spring showers come around, and when those seeds and the seeds pods have fell off those trees and stuff like that, they're dormant underground, and then the spring showers come around, and then they blossom. And then all of those leaves that fell from the older trees are the nutrients and enrichment for the next season. So this is the same principle with ripening. Instead of going, oh, we're going to have a next season, you're going, okay, I'm going to use all of the nutrients that my plant has to offer in this ripening stage. And that's why you shouldn't worry about if your leaves do look ugly by the end of, the harvest, because it's supposed to fall. Those leaves have internal storage. And if you want to be a smart, financially inclined grower that's utilizing every penny of their nutrients, you want the plant to use that internal storage. And to be quite frank and quite honest, the plants that I have let stay green until the end always have a slight little bit more harshness to them upon smoke than the ones that I let fully just use up everything inside of it. And that's I know some people are, that's debatable. That could be what you use and how you cure and how you this. And for me, it's, there's a lot of nitrogen, carbon, potassium, and phosphorus stored in a plant. It probably affects the taste of some sort. It's got to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in nature, that plant would not be green at the end of the year. So in nature, that plant is going to go through a natural process of senescence, and it is going to be, whether it turns purple or not, that's just predisposed genetics, whether it has those anthocyanins. If it has those predisposed to turn purple, typically sometimes they're just going to go lime green, yellow, and kind of fall off, you know. But the plant is going to let go of those leaves because it doesn't want them. It's growing buds. It stopped growing leaves back in the vegetative stage. We don't want all those leaves. We need a few of them for satellites, and that's it. But so this leads us into, okay, so let's not talk about finishing products. Let's talk about finishing techniques. So such as 18-6 in the last 2 weeks. What do you think about that?
Yes and no. You could cause a hermy. So for me, I run 12-12 all the way through. If what I found to be more beneficial, because people go, well, more light, more resin. Well, how about this? Increase your light potency, increase the light height, have hotter stress times during the day for 4 to 6 hours, increasing the PAR and potential of the plant, and the trichome should naturally produce to shield the plant from the light, as long as you keep the proper light height and you're not burning your plant. I've done that. How I do that is basically every light that I purchase, and this is, if you're wondering, we'll be doing a light episode in the future, but if you're wanting a pro tip on purchasing a light, buy something that is 2 times powerful for your space. So you could run it at half capacity or less. Your light will go 10 times longer. The LEDs will last longer, and your utility costs will be less because your dimmer isn't having to pull as much electricity to run the light at the wattage that you're seeking. So you'll get away with lower electric bills. So I run SF 4000s or SF 7000s. I don't do the 7000s anymore because it does get a little too bright in the room just for my eyes and stuff. Even with glasses on, shit gets a little too much when I have two of those fuckers running. But I have an SF 4000 that I'll turn almost all the way up the last 2 weeks of flower. And you'll see sometimes I'll get bare minimal bleaching on a tip. But I mean, I almost always see at least a 2 to 3% increase in resin production from that time period. So that's what I like to do. As far as any stress training, I don't do anything. But the only things I'll do is put bamboo stakes in, or if you have a trellis net, you just basically widen up the canopy. No breaking branches, no super cropping, nothing of that sort. Just widening, opening, allowing more airflow. But all of that, for me, if you're waiting till the last two to three weeks to do that, you're dumb. Like, you should have, when you flip to flower, your first 2 weeks of flower to 3 weeks of flower will be a full flower stretch. Your plant will stop stretching by that third week of flower, and that's when you should widen your canopy to everywhere you want to allow those colas to be exactly where you want them. And you should have been doing it the whole 3 week process of the stretch so that you can train and everything. Yes. Once you get to the point where it stops stretching and it puts on bud, don't do anything. Just let it grow.
Yep. At that point, support the colas. Exactly. At that point, for me, when it starts to stretch, and I start to see that flowering kick in, I start to day by day gently defoliating the whole inside of the canopy, and let that whole inner canopy be visible. I leave predominantly what can be satellites on the outside of the canopy, and you know, when I first started growing, I did all the scrogging and bending, and I think I'm taking a step back and letting things grow, and just tucking and pushing things out. And I'm getting just the even large canopy. I think a plant has its predisposed maximum that it wants to produce. And yeah, I think a lot of that time bending and scrogging and getting these crazy canopies, it's just a lot more time growing when you could have grown that plant out and flipped into another one.
And to be quite honest, having 4 to 6 tops that are nice nodes, you know, 4 to 6 nodes each top,
yep,
and keeping it about that is really great for a plant.
Yes.
It's not an overabundance of tops that you're going to have to put in all this stuff in. The plant can really focus on enriching those tops with the full amount of medicine and everything you can. And generally, I'll get colas, you know, that are solid. And that one plant produces enough weight, you know, that keeps it reciprocal, right? So this is the kind of – this is where I always tell growers less is more, especially at the end, less is more. The products that I highly recommend that even if you have a finisher like your New Millennium or the Ruby Flush, like let's say you have both of those, I highly recommend growers to test out Terpinator or Perpinator into their regimen because it is an additional thing. I don't have any on site just because literally life's been wild and I just honestly forget to keep things on hand these days. And I haven't been growing insanely purple plants, and most of my terpenes have been really great because I use organics and teas. So I'm not really ever worried about those, but I want to get some for myself because I know anytime I used it, the expression of smells in my garden as well as taste were easily doubled. Like I could very clearly, distinctively smell and taste out the phenos and things like that that I really liked. And I have a couple phenos in my garden that are very, very nice smells. So I kind of want to try to bring that out more. So those are the two products I would recommend. The only other one that I have actually used that I could speak on, two of them. I use Bloom Yellow Bottles Phosphorus P, I think is what that one's called, or something like that. It's the Bloom Yellow Bottles PK Boost is what it was. They're an extremely expensive Australian organics brand. They're very good quality, but they're very pricey. They do work well. It was a quite amazing of a line. I've used the whole line of their stuff. It is really good. It's liquid nutrients. Be warned, some of them are ammonia-based. They fucking reek, and you might want to wear gloves because your hands will smell like piss. The other one I used is Mammoth Farms Mammoth P. And that, to be honest, that one did a hell of a job. Is it fully organic? I think it's OMNRI tested, so I want to say yes. Is Terpinator and Perpinator? I think they were on their way to getting OMNRI certified, but it takes 5 to 10 years, I believe. I can't remember the whole length of it. So most of the products that I've discussed are organic. Floraclean is not an organic product. That is a salt-based product. Unsulfured blackstrap molasses is organic.
I think we'll have another topic about, you know, organic and synthetic on another day. But it really, man, we're talking about molecules at the end of the day. And whether it's organic, whether it's certain synthetic or salt based, if you want to say however you want to say it, it's really this is a hobby that it's fun to tinker. And it's fun to try out different things, and unless you are living a lifestyle in your own personal life that leads you to want to be 100% organic person, I think just tinker and have fun.
Yeah, just understand that the one thing I will say about parasynthetic salts or solvents is because there's no long-time study on it, just be wary of how much you're using close to late flower. Whenever I use parsynthetic salts or solvent-based grows, I always stopped using any feeds 3 weeks out, and I made sure to use purchased a finishing product like FloraClean to rip the excess salts out. So that is one thing that I would just say, hey, make sure you're doing, just as like a – because – The one thing that salts and solvents and parsynthetics do is they do slightly taint flavors if you use them late in flower. And that's the only shitty thing about them.
I can see that. But I think if you're doing the same practices that I think all of us are doing in the last 2 weeks, where you're really not doing much more than watering. Mm-hmm. In any scenario, you really shouldn't just be doing much more than watering in your last 2 weeks.
Yeah. People sometimes feed up until the end, and I think it's a waste of nutrients.
I think, in my case, I use all dry amendments, and I know that there's enough stored amendments from the final two-week feed that I gave, and then the carbohydrates that I feed up until I do molasses teas all the way through to the end because there's the carbohydrates. I like a nice soda, You know what I mean? I want some carbohydrates, so my so does my plant all the way to the end. You know what I mean? And that's watering. When we say watering in, that's watering. Just don't be giving it any heavy NPK.
Like PK boost or some shit like that. You know, don't just like sit there and give it like silica till like the end of the, like every week.
Read your plant. Your plant's telling you, based on those leaves, it's going to start fading out from the bottom up. It's going to start eating up those leaves. They're going to start dropping off. That's where you're going to get those good flavors.
Yep. And honestly, we'll leave off here. That's a really – I'll leave off with one question I have for you and just one little statement, and then we'll kind of close up. I think that's a great way to kind of finish up. Less is more. That is kind of the principle with growing cannabis. It really is. I used to do so much and – really, less is more. Finding yourself a really quality finishing product is great. And if you don't want to go spend money, again, unsulfured blackstrap molasses, wonderful. So I guess my question to you will be, what is the one strain you're looking forward to growing the most, or what strains are you looking forward to growing the most this year?
Well, let's see. I think I'm really looking into getting this glue of the gods in my tank. So to be honest, that's the one headbanger I'm ready to light it up, dry it, and see what I can do. And I want to see what this bitch can bench press.
You'll be calling me like, "It bench pressed me, man." Oh, shit. No, it's going to be fun. I can't wait to get into your hands for sure. And honestly, that's actually a good segue.
Let me ask you a question. What strain, what are you looking to get in the tent this year?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Three for curveball there.
You know what? I have a freak show cross that I've been working on that I would like to go ahead and see my little freaky leaves come to life. So I might get my freak show cross out here.
I think we all want to see that.
Yeah, so that or it'll either be the freak show cross or my Australian bastard cannabis. One of them, they both have really wild leaves. And I love both of them. And I've been considering taking my Freak Show cross and taking my male ABC pollen and putting it in and seeing what kind of mutated leaves I can kind of get out of that.
All right, let's not talk about that out loud, man. Let's keep that under the table, okay?
Keep that around, bro. Keep that around, bro. No, I have a lot of secret weapons. Don't worry. There's about 100 more.
That's what's up.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you all enjoyed this episode where Jason and I got to blab about ripening products. He had messaged me about that winter frost, and we both thought it was a really great idea to do a podcast around this time of the year because everyone's usually breaking down gardens or resetting and figuring out what products they're going to get this year. So be sure to smash that like button if you enjoyed this. Comment down below. Maybe you use a finishing product and you want to let us know what you use. Comment down below. Let us know.
Yeah.
And subscribe or follow along from whichever platform you're tuning in from so you can show the sponsors, Atlas Seed, the Autoflower Review, TMB Naturals, and Hydro Bucket some major love. And we'll be back every single Tuesday. We actually did it. It is Tuesday. So without further ado.
What can we do?
Exactly. It's that stoner mind. Much love, happy growing, and peace, everyone.
Peace.